Okay, I think we're up to Chav Hey. So, right in the previous halachot, the Rosh Hashanah has established that if you leave the sukkah under legitimate circumstances, right, like it starts raining and you leave, and then it stops raining, or you leave when you're sleeping, and right, you don't have to go back, right, because that's not normal,
And if you do
right?
rain, yeah.
No, that's if you stay there, but when it's raining. But if you go back, you just don't have to because look, once you moved, you would finish up. Right, even if it's not ideal, you wouldn't go back. But in Chafei, he says, okay, what happens if it's not a question of leaving? What is a question of? You have a tarp or something like that, right? And instead of leaving your sukkah when it rained, what did you do? You just covered the sukkah. Correct. But so what's the question, right? Is On the one hand, you'll say, well, it's not a sukkah anymore, and therefore, if I have an exemption from being in the sukkah because I started leaving the sukkah because of rain when I ate, so then I don't have to go back. And even though I'm not going anywhere, right? I'm pulling the tarp off or putting the tarp back on, or my, my roof that has an, I don't know, however you want to do it, right? Your electric button that closes the roof or whatever it is. So on the one hand, you'd say, well, I have an exemption, so I don't have to go back. On the other hand, you would say, but it's so easy. Right, maybe the reason that I don't have to go back in when I left my sukkah and went into my house to eat, and then it stops raining, is because it's tough. But if I just pulled the tarp on when it rained to stop raining and pull the tarp back off, right? Yeah. So he says, Right, in our sukkah that we talked about, that you just open and close the roof depending on whether it's raining. Right, you have to doubt. If you're not mechuyav b'emtzasuda, right, so do you have to open it up in the middle of the meal or on the first night to open it up for sleeping? Do you say on the one hand, so what's the lamdus, right? What's his shaila? On the one hand, you'd say, well, it's a patur, right? If I started eating in the rain at home, I'm patur, so I don't have to go back into the sukkah. So if you think it's an exemption, that once you start a meal outside the sukkah, we don't make you go back in. So then what would you say in this case? You're still patur. But if you say, no, really you're chayev, it's just that it really is frustrating and annoying to have to, you just moved all your dishes inside, you have to move them back outside, and therefore, contextually, that is not the way you would do it in your house, right? So, think about it, right? Meaning, ki'ilo, just one second, right? It would be, right, if you, let's say, you want to eat in your kitchen, okay? And it happens either when you're in the kitchen, I don't know, what's a food you really don't like the smell of?
Fish.
I agree with you, right? So
Avi, you call yourself an Ashki?
No, I don't think I've ever called myself an Ashki. So Avi says, look, he wants to sit in his kitchen and have a bowl of cereal.
Sure.
No? You want to eat something else? Pizza?
Cereal's fine.
Cereal. And then as he's sitting down to have a bowl of cereal, no, it needs to be something that's harder to carry. He wants to eat give me something, you need a few plates, a few whatever.
Charcuterie board. A kosher charcuterie board.
This is obvious meal.
Pulled beef sandwiches.
Sure. Right, so he has pulled beef sandwiches. So he, he wants to be neat. So he has his plate and he has a little, he has his, very British. He has his napkins on his legs, to make sure that nothing drips. And he put on his little bib napkin thing, the maisa. And then he's sitting down and then his mother starts cooking fish. And he says, oh, I can't eat like this. So he's like, it's not ideal, but I'm going to go eat in the... whatever in the den, in my bedroom, right?
Sure.
And your mother says, no, why are you eating your bedroom? He says, because you're cooking fish. It's your fault, right? No, don't say that. But fine, right? Because I can't stand the smell of fish. And then his mother stops, right? But 10 minutes later, he's already all set up, eating his pulled beef sandwich, whatever, with his napkins, keeping him clean and his bib thingy and whatever. And then his mother stops cooking fish. Is he going to go back to the kitchen?
No,
okay. No, it's like, we'll just finish where he is, right?
So, wait a second.
So he says, but what if, right? That wasn't the question. What if Avi had a button he could press in the middle of the kitchen? Oh, you're making fish. A wall would just, you know, amazing. Cut the kitchen in half, right? So that's basically what Aruch HaShulchan is saying, is if I have a button that puts a tarp or puts a roof over my sukkah, do I say, listen, it's not a halachic sukkah, so this is as if I went upstairs to my room, and therefore I don't have to come back? Or do I say, no, you don't look at it formally, which is I was putter and I... Or are you looking at it formally? I left the sukkah, I wasn't chayev, and therefore I remain not chayev. Or do you say, no, this is a very practical consideration. If it's the type of thing I would schlep to do, then I schlep to do it. So if Avi is in the kitchen, he presses the button, right? So it's not a big deal, button on, but right? Keep pressing the button, the wall just goes up, down, up, down, up, down, right?
Bro,
yeah.
So, hey,
Moshe's like, I don't understand. You don't like fish. What? What's that's the Shaila, yeah?
I'm assuming that you're just incorrect about not liking fish. That's obviously you're incorrect about that, but that's not the point that I'm trying to make, okay? Mm-hmm. But the question is, by putting it in the tarp on top of the sukkah, aren't you making it a not kosher sukkah? Therefore...
Correct, but he's saying, so that's the question, is it, do you say...
Make something, make a sukkah not kosher on sukkah?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, that is? Okay. Because in Rav Ginsburg's... we're talking about
dismantling. Yes, you're not dismantling. You're allowed to do that. Okay. Right? So, but his shaila is, do I look at it formally? Right? Same thing. What's his shaila? Do I look at it formally and say, I left the sukkah, so I don't have to go back until I finish the meal? Mm-hmm. Or do I say, no, this isn't a formal question. The reason you don't have to go back to the sukkah is because practically no one would do that. Right? Avi's going to continue having a sandwich in his room, even though it's not ideal. Right? What?
Assuming the rain stops.
No, right. But if it's just the question of pressing a button, right? So he says, "Oh, Dilma came to Ingan Shinu Mak." Or does he say, "Listen, I don't have to move, right? I just got to pull off the tarp or press my button, and the roof goes off." It's a little bit annoying. Maybe I got to pull off the tarp or whatever. And he says, "Lahalacha chen yerli ikar ledinah shemuchuyav liftoach agag." So he says, it depends. By a meal, he thinks. By the meal, he thinks you need to open it. Right? But what about sleep? He says, I'm not Bishena, it depends. In Koshalav Amidav al Bashavar Echitza. Have a kimbo, halicham, tell us your guy. He says, it depends. Right? What is it going to take? Like, your meal, people, you're dressed, right? You get up anyways, right? It's not a big deal. So, okay, you get up, you pull the tarp off, right? But sleeping,
you're not going to get up.
And- you know, your sukkah's in your front yard, right? And you're the type of person, you sleep in your boxers only and you're cuddled inside your blanket. So for you to get up and to take off the tarp would mean you have to get dressed again because you're not going to go, I hope, in front of your house. Right, just in your boxers, right? So he says, if it's just hard, you know, you got to get dressed. You got to, I mean, to be fair, right? In the Gemara, right, the assumption is people are sleeping without clothes, right? That's just the assumption. When you only had one pair of clothes, you didn't sleep in clothes, right? You slept under a blanket and you wore clothes during the day, right? That's the assumption in the Gemara in many, 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 many sugyot, right? In terms of Kriyat Shema, right? If you had to say Shema in bed, things like that, that's the assumption in many sugyot. So he says, right, if in order for you to get up and take the tarp off sleeping, so he said, then obviously, just because it happens to be that it's not so hard to take off the tarp, in this context, it is, right? So obviously, if it's a button inside your sukkah, right, that you have on your, you know, you just have a, you know, you have a remote or you have it on your phone, right? Siri, open my sukkah, right? Close my sukkah, right? Invalidate my sukkah according to certain shittah, right? Yeah. Or whatever, right? Whatever you do.
Well, you have a if you have a tarp, you just put a tarp over it. It's not a valid sukkah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. So he says, "In kashulav amida v'avajar achitzav kamali chavet l'sukkah patar achol yirei elokim." Right. But he says, but now he adds, and he says, "But this is all mikar hadin. That's the letter of the law." But he thinks that what should you do, not what do you need to do, but what should you do?
You should cover
it. Uncover exactly. He says, "Achol yirei elokim b'vada yamod b'simcha liftoach hagag l'kayim a mitzvah." He said, if you are the Yirei Elokim, right, and you, right, you should want to get up with joy to make it, that you fulfill the mitzvah again.
You're not going to wake up.
You're right.
Because rain's falling. You're not going to wake up when the rain no longer is falling on you when it wasn't falling on you in the first
place. I don't know. You wake up. Okay. Maybe you're a deep sleeper. Just,
the rain will wake you up, you put it over, fine. But then you go back to sleep.
Okay, you go back to sleep, you wake up, you gotta take a piss, and you notice that the rain has stopped.
I don't wake up.
Well, then you're leaving the sook anyways, but...
Yeah, and I don't wake up in the
You leave the sook at the...
Okay. You wake! You just woke up! People wake up in the middle of the night.
Okay, you wake up, you gotta take a piss, and I don't want to bother taking the tarp off, because then I gotta fold it and put it away. Okay.
If you happen to wake up again...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else in Halakha that... You no longer have to do a mitzvah,
it's inconvenient. Ah, good. So hold that thought for one second. Let me just read his last line, because of what you said before. So you said, but wait, are you a head yot? Didn't we say that if you keep a mitzvah, you stay in the circle when it's raining, you're a head yot? So he said, no, you misunderstand. That's only when you stay in the circle, when it's really, really, right, painful and inconvenient, or it's raining, and it might not even be a shame sukkah, which is how some of the Rishonim take it. But here, it's just so easy, right? I mean, the point of rain is that this is like objectively horrible, so this is not how you're supposed to be mekayem mitzvot sukkah. But now it's not raining. It's just that it's a little bit annoying for me to like take off the tarp. But fundamentally, right, so he says, Ve'eno doma leknisa mibeito nikra hedyo, kevan she'engan shinu makom. So he said this, to make someone go into the house in the middle of the meal. He said, also, you're potter, so maybe that's a hedyo, because it's a big deal, and you don't have to do it, so don't do it. But here, it's not a big deal. Right? Okay, so now Avi asks the obvious question, which is, we've done 25 halachot about Ilchot Sukkah, and what we've found is that the standard here to exempt you from Sukkah is quite low. Right? Inconvenience. Aye, is that true in Kol HaTorah Kula? So the answer probably is
no.
Probably no. Right? Most Rishonim assume the answer is no. That because Sukkah specifically is formulated, as we've seen over and over, that what is the guiding principle in Ilchot Sukkah? Right, Teshu came to Duru, it should be your house. And in your house, you have pretty high standards of what it means to be livable for most of us.
Oh, yeah, very high.
Right?
Not raining,
no, meaning, no. If you were, Avi, if you were out in a park, okay, and it started raining for a minute, right, like a sun shower, and you know, you just go under one of the gazebos in Central Park or whatever, or whatever park you're in, and you just wait it out. So then afterwards, you might still go and hang out in the park. Like, assuming everything didn't get muddy, right? You would like, okay, it's a park, so things are a little bit wet. Big deal, right? In your house, it's a big deal, right? When you're outside having a picnic, if someone spills a cup of water on the grass, you don't say, I run to get a towel and dry it up, right? Right? In your house, a little spill and you're wiping up the table, you're wiping up this. We have different standards in our house or out of our house, right? It's not crazy, right? Meaning again, right? If you're out on a picnic, right? If you're at a picnic and like there are birds around, it's annoying, but like you don't say, oh, why are there birds around? I can't eat anywhere near birds. If there was a pigeon flying around your dining room table, mistome, right? I mean, think about it. Bees, right? What? Right. But again, if you were taking a walk in a park and you saw a bee, right, you would avoid it, but you wouldn't, like, freak out the way that it's your house. Suddenly everyone's, like, you know, has a meltdown. Right, our standards are different. So most Rishonim assume that that's why Sukkah has this standard called Mitztayer. If something's inconvenient, it's annoying. So then it exempts me from Sukkah. Why? Because the standard of Sukkah is the standards of your house. But you can't say the same thing by davening. It's annoying for me to get up early in the morning. It's annoying. I am Pater. I am Potter. I mean, I don't have to do it.
Yeah. That's why it's not in any way. For instance, like if you're on an airplane, you really don't have to stand up to down the
flight. It has nothing to do with Mitztayer. No, it's not about inconvenience. Mapitone, there's no such Potter for inconvenience. Right? Yeah.
No, if you're on an airplane, you can't stand up. Well,
that's a difference. That's a different halacha. That's from a halacha of Rochav al Chamor, where the Gemara has a discussion of if you're traveling and you can't stand up, are you allowed to daven sitting down? The Gemara says yes. It's not about inconvenience.
Isn't that also where we learn about?
We're not the same standard of inconvenience, anyways. In tefillah, it's about kavana. It's about will standing up make your kavana less, right? And sukkah, and on a plane, it's the added thing that, right, you're blocking other people.
Okay, let's say this. If I have back pain, I can still stand up. I have really bad back pain. So if I sit down, I can dial this one and throw an extra with Kiwana.
So,
if I stand up, I can dial this one and extra.
According to Rove Rishonim, the simple understanding of the sukkah is that the standard of mitzvah is only in sukkah, and everywhere else in halacha, the standard we need is chole, right? Right, it would be a much higher standard. You have to be sick, right? Right, like if I'm sick, right? So like on a fast day, right? I don't like fasting; it's annoying, right? I'm hungry, right? Oh, you're hungry? You don't have to fast. No, that's not how things work, right? But if you're sick, forget Yom Kippur, where you need pikuach nefesh, right? But if you're like sick, you're throwing up. So on the minor fast, you don't have to fast, right? You're sick, right? But a little bit like mitzdayer, like. I don't like it. What? No, I'm saying, so by tefillah, you couldn't just say, I don't like standing up, I'm lazy. I like sitting in my couch. That doesn't exempt you. You are in excruciating back pain, right? And standing up as you like, you know, then yeah, you don't have to, but that's because it's a much higher standard. The lows, that's Rove. It is true that there are at least four sources that I know of that argue that this is not the case, that mitzdayer is actually a rule in Kol HaTorah Kula. Rav Asher Weiss documents these Tshuva Gaonim, the Tshuva Rabbaz, where they actually do apply it to tefillah, and they do apply it to Shtayim Mikra V'Chatargum, of all things, unclear, and different things. I remember once I happened to be on a lunch foot right before Chag, and I stopped by Gush for a minute, and you know, just to you know, to wish Chag Sameach to like my Rebbeim, and Ray Tarragon saw me instead of just saying, you know, Chag Sameach, whatever, he pulled me into Shir and he's like, oh, this is our alumnus, Rabbi Ziering. Oh, why don't you give Shir? Why don't you say something? I'm like, what are you learning? Is they were doing the Sukkah Mitzdayer. So I was like, oh, well, most people think like Rabbeinu Manoach, the Mitzdayer is a din in Teishu Kein Taduru, right? But there are these Shita. And he's like, no, don't tell him that. Go. That's how you get yourself kicked out, right? What? You punter from Davidin because of Mitzdayer? Like, I mean, there's such a tshuva, right? Is it reasonable? Obviously, it's not reasonable. That's what Rav Elchanan points out when he goes to Shuvah the Gaonim. Does it exist? In a Hanami, it exists.
You think that could work in other situations?
What? Like getting yourself kicked out, for sure. What?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Say the right Veltari, you'll get kicked out anywhere. You know. Yeah. He was like, don't tell them that Shita. What is it? You know, they don't need to know that. No one in Migdal needs to know that, right? What? There's a Shita in the Gaonim? Then it's dire.
Please don't give them any more reasons.
Yeah, I won't give anyone that reason. No. Rachman al Tzlan. Yeah, because they needed my excuse. Okay.
Yes, you specifically.
Rosaring says, I don't care what Rosaring says.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Next issue, bracha. Okay, this is a very important issue. So, bracha, what do you think? When do you say bracha? So, if let's say you have never experienced a Sukkot. So for what you know about the halacha of sukkah, when would you think you make a bracha?
When you
go into the sukkah. Why would you think that? Okay, why would you think that?
Because, will we do anything that involves a bracha? We say the bracha, then we do it.
Okay, but why before you go into the sukkah?
Because when I'm eating something, I say the bracha on the food, and then I eat it. Therefore, when I'm saying a bracha on the sukkah, I say the bracha on the sukkah, and then I go inside.
Okay, right. I mean, so, but why before you go in? What's the assumption? I want you to spell it out.
The assumption is, he's saying the bracha is yishev ha-sukkah. It means literally this step, practically you sit.
Right. So
before I dwell.
Right. So Moshe just says, listen, the mitzvah is to dwell, so you make the bracha before you dwell. What's dwelling? I don't know. Before I go in the sukkah, something like that. Right. You would say that, right? If you had never experienced a sukkot before, right? Eitan says, no, before you eat. Why eating?
Everything we're saying with, like, when you can go in or inside the house, it's like the mitzvah is eating.
Okay, so what is sleeping? Which is more chamor, eating or sleeping?
So maybe you can say about before you go to sleep.
Oh, so Eitan starts off by, oh, no, maybe. So remember I said, what's the major question here? is the mitzvah living, or is the mitzvah a series of actions that mimic living, right? Right? So that might determine the bracha issue, right? So now it happens, now there is another, so one way is to say that this question hangs on whether you view the mitzvah as living or as a series of actions that are living-like, right? Right?
You don't make a bracha on going to sleep. We say one,
so one second.
Do you say a bracha on going to sleep?
I don't know. What exactly do you think homopula is?
Well, not one.
What exactly do you think homopula is?
No, like you don't just say a bracha about going to sleep. You can't. Like, sleeping is something
that that's exactly why a lot of the poskim are so uptight about that bracha, is that you can't talk after the bracha. I mean, whether that's true is a different story, but the reason that many poskim assume that you can't talk after hamapil is because it is a bracha on sleep, and therefore there can't be a hefsek.
Okay.
And that's why some briskers are like, oh, I don't say it, because maybe I won't fall asleep. I'm like, this is one of those brisker homework I hate. I'm like, really? Because the Gemara wasn't aware that people don't fall asleep? Like, come on. Come on. Drives me crazy. Drives me crazy. Yes, exactly. Nishtano Ateva. Then no one was insomniac. No one, it took more than 3 seconds to fall asleep. That's what they were thinking. And nowadays, we don't say it. So I don't buy that. So therefore, I am Makpid Zam Apiel. I do not buy that Driscoll Humra. I'm like, no. No, the Gemara was aware of the same thing you were, right?
Hang on, wait. What does one on Sukkah do first? They eat in the Sukkah and then they sleep in the Sukkah. Because you have to be stewed up.
Okay, but what if you just go and sleep?
You
have a ate, you went out to, it's the middle of the week. Right. You eat, then you go out to Maariv, right?
Absolutely.
Then you learn, and you go to an Ian Shear, which we already established you're allowed to do in the base Medrash. And you come back into it in the morning, and you don't eat anything else, because you don't eat late at night. You're just going to sleep. Okay? Good. All right. We've come up with a frum scenario. Right? What?
Maybe
you do. Mo doesn't.
Okay. You need a bench. Okay.
What? I lost you there.
Benching.
Anyways, so it could be that the question of when you say the bracha hangs on how you view the mitzvah. The other possibility is that it's about how you view bracha. Right, that it could be that, listen, a bracha can't just be on anything, right? As Mo said, maybe you can't just say a bracha on going to sleep. Like, you need there needs to be like a mitzvah. You need to do something. The bracha needs to be on something. It's not that the mitzvah isn't everything. It's like, you need, the bracha needs like something to, some definable action to be the hook. Even if that's not the entirety of the mitzvah,
more
you need
less,
a hook.
More or less is the word of the
Yeah. I got what you're trying to do. Yeah. I will be honest. A lot of this
goes. What you're trying to say is wrong, but I got what you're trying to
do. No, well, the thing around Hamapil drives me a little bit crazy, right? Because A, right, Hamapil is saying a brach on sleep. The obsession of not saying any word, I'm not convinced of in the Sugyot, because, right?
You think it's a brach on deciding that it is.
Well, so the way it presents in the Rishonim, it seems to be it's a brach on going to bed.
And going
right?
to bed is not.
So right, going to bed, so like, I wouldn't say you say the bracha before you binge watch whatever you're watching at that time, right? Presumably you say the bracha afterwards. But like the poskim who say that like, oh, you can't sit, like, don't talk to your wife. Don't say anything after you say the bracha. I'm like, but I don't understand. But like, I don't understand. Like, that is like, you know, I think that's normal. And like, the Mishnah Brura has this whole like thing that, well, what if someone is going to be intimate with his wife that night? So how do you say Hamapil? Well, so you're intimate, and then, oh, but you're not wearing clothes, and you're dirty. At that point, you can't make a bracha, so you go and, like, you shower, and then you put your clothes back on. I'm like, but if you look at the Avud Raham, who's, like, the major Rishon on Tefillah, he says, no, right? Right? The phrase in Hamapil. No. He says the phrase in Hamapil, right? Of Utehei Mitati Shleima Lefanecha includes the fact it's also a bracha on physical intimacy, which is something you do in bed, right? It's a bracha on the entire process of going to bed, and therefore, according to the Avud Raham, the simple pshat is you would say the bracha before you go to bed, and whatever happens after that, but that's not, right? People misunderstand. You look in the Rishonim, the bracha is on going to sleep, not going to bed, more than going to sleep, right? In which case, that if you go to sleep and you're an insomniac, it's not a bracha of Atala retroactively, right? Because I went to sleep, I tried to go to sleep, right? If I never end up going to sleep, I mean, okay, right? But it's not like I can't, right? If I then go into an insomniac, like, three-day thing, it's not like I can't talk now for 3 days, right? Like, oh, is the bracha, I'm sleeping, oh, I can't fall asleep. It's like, you know, it's like someone washed, right? The way people are, but for 3 days, because I couldn't fall asleep. Like, I mean, that's not what the bracha is. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Anyways.
There isn't an opinion that you can talk about something that's relevant to the mitzvah.
Well, that's exactly the point, so, right? And that's the way I would view it, that it's not a... You shouldn't... That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't say Hamapil and then binge watch whatever you're watching. I would say, but if you're going... You're say Hamapil and then you're going to talk to your wife or whatever. You're going to talk to your roommate for a minute, right? Or whatever. I know. I don't know if you talk to your roommates. Rachman Alitzlan, like...
Talking
to people. What is this? We're both on our phones not talking to each other until we conk out. I was like, yep, that's it.
No, I talked to my roommate.
I told him,
close the door.
I did not have a roommate. I had great roommates, you know. When I was in Gush, I never talked to my roommates at night. Not because I didn't like my roommates, but because I went to sleep 3 hours after they did. What? Right, I mean, they went to sleep. By the time I got back to the room, they were all asleep because I was the late... I was the one who went, that's not true. My first year, of the four of us in a room, one of the other guys also went to sleep when I did, so we would sometimes talk for a minute, you know, but we couldn't talk in our actual room. Like, we had two rooms, and we couldn't actually sleep in the bedroom. We couldn't talk in the bedroom because the other two guys were sleeping.
Here's the problem. The guy who usually sleeps around the same time as I do likes talking about things like the fact that all positive numbers equal the sum of all positive numbers equals negative 112.
Anyways, but
the
whole point here, guys, the point of this whole thing was that it's not an abnormal thing to talk to roommates. So when I was in NYU, I actually talked to my roommates, you know. I'm trying to think. One of my roommates went to sleep earlier than I did. One went to sleep around the same time I did, so that we actually talked. Anyways, fine. So what about bracha? So now let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, Midira di Gemara. Right? He said, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that Yezhu Levarach Leshev Asuka B'chol Pam Shei Kan Hispa. V'neshe Mitzvah Leshev Basuka Levad. Levad Achila V'ashena. The simple pshat of the Gemara is you make a bracha whenever you go into the sukkah. Because, not just when you eat or drink. Because, what's the mitzvah?
To live.
V'zeu Dechzev Asuka Teishvu. That's what it means. Live. Klomar. Titakvu Sham. Stay there. Tarry there. Shivat yamim, kimo betfilin, shekol zman shemenichan mevarech. Just like tefillin. Every time I put them on, not just in the morning. Every time I put on my tefillin, I wear a bracha. I make a bracha. V'alchein, afilu nichnas v'yotzim v'sukot v'asara pamim bayom. If I go in, out, in, out, 10 times. Chayev levarech. V'chol pam leishev basuka. De'achar shiyatzim v'asuka nistalka bracha. Because once I leave the sukkah, I'm not in the sukkah, so the bracha is over. Amnam zeuk shiyatza yitzia gemura linyan. Oh, that's only, okay, fine. That's if you actually leave, right? The shalol lachshar miyad. But if I go in, right, I have my sukkah off my kitchen, and I go in to bring the food, obviously I don't make the bracha then, right? That I haven't left, right? That's like if I'm in the middle of a meal and someone knocks on my door and I, you know, walk outside my door just to, you know, see what they want, right? That's not leaving my house. So he says, that's my sukkah also. And he said, who paskins that way? The Riff, the Rush, and the Rambam.
Oh, all of them.
Yes. That's right. And he quotes the Rambam. Why before you sit? Okay, because maybe sit is the action, but whatever. However, so why is it, as Eitan says, that most people make the bracha before they eat, and only before they eat? Where did they get that idea? So Rabbeinu Tam says, "I'm not Rabbeinu Tam Basak. She ain't zarech levarek leishev asuka. Rag b'shara suda. The zelashan ator. This is how the Torah summarizes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam perish chayvin she ikur kviyad adam b'toch asuka hu achila mivarech alila upoter kol advarim afilo ashena. Since the primary living is eating, so by making the bracha eating, you exempt the other actions, including sleeping. She chamura meachila, which is even though sleeping is." Somewhat stricter than eating. Right, as we saw, that you can eat a snack outside the school, you can't nap a snack. Right, And now he quotes the Rosh as well, saying the Mordechai b'shmo, that they quote the Rebbe Tam as saying this. The Chavan Shekol Advarim in Tfeilim La'achila, because since everything is secondary to eating, Kemo Atiyul, like hanging out, Vashena, and sleeping, L'fich Kulam Niftarim B'brecha La'achila. The Katvu Shnei Shenoagim Kira Rebbe Tam. And they say that the Minhag is like Rebbe Tam, even though the Rosh acknowledges it's not what the Sugya says. The Minhag is like Rebbe Tam. Well, Chen, but Rebbe Tam Beit Yosef. Kadav Shnagu She'ein Mavarchan Also Gav B'shar Achila Kan L'shono. Rabin Ramaoz of Lomar Vachi Nohuk. Right, so the Beit Yosef notes that that is the Minhag. Right? And the Rama says in that Vachi Nohuk. And this is the Minhag. He says, V'loy Adadi Mahosev Aldiv Rabinu Beit Yosef. I don't know what he added. V'yesh Mises Shover Ladar Rabin Tam Yesh Chumram Yeshiv Kol Ayom Besukah V'achal Shnei Pam Imshav Varecha Kol Azuda. Now some say, now, he said there is one time in which Rabinu Tam would have you make more brachot. So some people think that Rabbeinu Tam so thinks that the bracha is on eating that let's say you sat in the sukkah all day, didn't leave, and you but you ate and benched, and then 6 hours later you had another meal. Some people say that you say a bracha again. He says, Yesh cholkin bazeh, right? So the Bach and the Taz say that you make a bracha because clearly Rabbeinu Tam is saying the bracha is on the eating. And he says, the Magen Avram and the Taz and the Levush say no. That he agrees the mitzvah is on the living. It's just that you happen to make bracha on the eating. But if I haven't left, right, the first bracha still works. So that's the simple pshat. Rabbeinu Tam isn't being more machmir, right? El lahakel. He's minimizing brachot. And since according to the shita that you live there all day, kavah chomer l'shita Rabbeinu Tam v'chena noa nogin. He said that's the minog. The kolja again, the sabik bracha lahakel, and he says, for sure, because the rule by brachot is that if you have a doubt about brachot, right, now you see, this is classic, right, how does he analyzes the sugya, right, over and over, what does he do? He says, the Rama, how does he treat the Rama, what does he add? Lo yadati mahosif, right, the Rama said, that's the minhag, I said, I don't know what his response to Rama is, I don't know what you were adding, thank you, right, like, and what's his proof? His proof is not that it's the Rama's minhag, what's his proof? It's his minhag. That's what people do. Plus, safik bracha lahakel. V'chin nistapik b'imberach leishev asakan. If you're not sure, imlav lo yavarech lo yahader lo yazul leidei chiyuv kedei shkosu bracha levatala. Right? Don't try to bring yourself a bracha. But in the yishagel bracha lo pam shenichas giv rifa rambam. He says, those who follow the gra, their minhag is to follow the rambam. So he does note, right, so sometimes he'll tell you that there are different practices, and he says he knows of other practices. Nevertheless, he endorses the main practice. There's the anu ein lanu eladiver avotenu balei shulchan aruch v'shira chilat sheochal davar shetzarach sukkah v'ayinu sheochal yoter mikebeitza pat omina betika shomazonot v'az tzarach levarech. As long as you're having the right shear. Now, how do people paskin? So it happens to be that I know that certain briskers do make a bracha every time they walk into the sukkah. I also know some people who have, like, compromises. Right, so I remember talking when I was in high school. Right, Reichman used to, it was one of the Rosh Yiv at YU, and like one of the seniors told me to move of the Rav Slavichek. He used to give a share once a week, and he said that he had, like, in his own practice, like a compromise position. So he wouldn't make a bracha just like walking in, but he wasn't makpid to have a shear of achila. Right, so like if he came in and he had a little snack and he sat down or whatever, and there was some achila, he would do it, or before he went to sleep. Right, he thought it was very important to make the bracha because it's one thing not to pass like the Rambam and say not every time I go in, but if you're going to do one of the primary actions of sleeping in the sukkah, he said, you know, really sleeping should need a bracha. So if you want to be machmir, so he said, now obviously he's a good brisker, if I remember correctly, he said that what's the best, if you want to be machmir, what's the best thing to do? Very good. Is what Avi says he does every night, and what Eitan is now endorsing, and Binyamin said he does, which is contrary to what I said, that it's very healthy not to eat at night. They say, Mapi, well, what are you talking about? Right before I go to sleep, I have a groyse meal. So on Sukkot, that would be a nice chumrah, right? Is that mi'ikra adin in lomdos? Very good. So in lomdos, what that would mean is if you want to be machmir, Avi, what that would come out is, look, you would say as follows. I go to Mariv, and then I go for a shir for 2 hours, so I'm putter from the sukkah, so I'm in the base medrash, and then when I get back to the sukkah, I want to go to sleep. But I know that according to the Rambam, I'm supposed to make a bracha. According to the Rambam, I have to eat. And me'ikra din misvara, the Rambam makes a lot of sense, but safek bracha lahakel, so I don't want to make a bracha unless I'm sure. So if you're machmir, I'm going to have, what am I going to eat?
full three-course dinner.
Every night? At 12 at night? A second dinner every night?
You know, honestly, how much calorie is that learning to? 2 hours of learning?
Yeah, I mean, look, you burnt it off because he was there, you know, with his thumbs like this, you know, right? Exactly, you know, you swing your thumbs like this for 2 hours. I mean, it's so much exercise, you know, you do it in the different ways to stretch different whatever. Yes, exactly.
Throughout the year, I have to eat a midnight snack every single day just so I
can... Yes, Xero, through my home runs. Okay, is it? Yeah, there you go. Okay. Now he's machadish an interesting svara, and he says that even according he says vida lechori nearly bar da filshir rabbi nitam angel besukat atzmo aval nichlas leishav besukato shel chaveru shelo yochal sham uvracha shel sukat shelo halolof tifter sukat echard in kain tzarch levarach shenichlas besukato shel chaveru. He says mi svara. Interestingly, he thinks rabbi nitam would agree that if I went to someone else's sukkah, right, where I can't necessarily demand to eat, right? I can't just say, Avi, I'm coming to your sukkah. Oh, I need to make a bracha. Give me that same three-course meal. I can't do that. I'm coming to visit Avi, to hang out, to make sure he understood shir, to make sure he's learning over sukkahs, which obviously he is, to answer the shilas and whatever sukkah he's learning, right? I'm not expecting him to feed me. So he says there he thinks that the act of going to visit someone in their sukkah, even Rabbi Natam, would say that's chashuv enough and would say a bracha, but he notes... V'ein haminog king. He says that's not the minog. V'zulai. And now he says maybe that's what the Ramah meant in that cryptic line that after the Beit Yosef said the minog is like Rabbeinu Tam, and he said that is the minog. Then maybe the Ramah is arguing. V'ulai zeu kavanat Rabbeinu Ramah b'mashkada v'hachinog. Klomar afilu b'sukat chavero. What he was saying is that no, the minog is never to make a bracha unless you're eating, even if you're visiting someone else. But Tam shanachnu tofsim eikar mitzvah yechila, because we hold like Rabbeinu Tam that the main mitzvah is eating. Main mevorchen al eikar mitzvah. Upashidu dim the emtsa zu dahalach makom acher v'shasham v'chazal zukol lechol shechozer mevorch leishu besuk. And it's clear that even if we're going to Rabbeinu Tam, if I'm in the middle of the meal and I leave for a significant period of time and come back and continue my meal to make a new bracha, yeah. And what if I forgot to make a bracha at the beginning of a meal? Do I make a bracha in the middle of the meal? Or even according to Rabbeinu Tam? Yeah, of course you do, because you're still eating, right? Even afterwards, right? And he says, but what if I forgot it entirely until after the meal? He thinks that even according to Rabbeinu Tam... So he says, Alko baram gam yishima mina mitzvah. Came shal berach b'ikara. So he says, listen, what did Rabbeinu Tam say? You make a bracha on eating because it's the primary. So you should have made it before you ate, but what if you're hanging out after dessert for a few hours? So here, the Aruch HaShulchan, he takes a particular read of Rabbeinu Tam. It's not that you shouldn't make a bracha on anything else, but that's the ikker, right? If you are eating, you make the bracha. So what happens if I ate and I forgot to make the bracha before, but I'm still going to sit 2 hours after dessert without eating anything? He says there, he thinks even Rabbeinu Tam would be moda, because really what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, eating is the primary one and exempts everything else. Right, but if I forgot to make it before, so I was eating, so am I really chayiv? Is this a yeshiva besukkah that has an achila? Yes, it happens to be. I said it after eating, but I still need to exempt this whole sitting with a bracha. So he says, in that case, he thinks even there, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, the yivarech alkoman vatfela, vadainu over lasiyatan, and still over lasiyatan, because normally you make a bracha before, but he's saying it is before, because you're continuing to sit in the sukkah. So therefore, he thinks according to Rabbeinu Tam, it isn't that you only make it on eating, it's that eating is primary. But if you would come up with a situation in which where you already ate, so the sitting is one of eating, but now you have a secondary part to it that you're hanging around, you would make the bracha even after eating, right? Even according to Rabbeinu Tam. That's his chiddush, and that is the end of Tafresh Lamatet. Doesn't have a Sukkot, right? So we do have one more share. I think what's going to happen is on...